Mike and John in the morning, and Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin joining us this morning to talk about some of the events that happened a week ago and terrifying to most. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
Last night, of course, you held a town hall, teletown hall, talking about the events of a week ago and your rationale for why you're going to be supporting impeachment when the article comes up for a vote today. You mentioned the word accountability. Real quick, if you can, for those listeners who weren't part of the teletown hall last night, just talk about that as your rationale for why you're going to be voting for impeachment.
Sure. First of all, the events of last Wednesday were, I think a real generational event. I think most people will remember where they were and who they were with and what they were doing. Most people, when it came on the TV, kind of stopped in their tracks. Every second grader knows what the Capitol Dome is, and it's an important building and a symbolic building. And frankly, it was people were terrorized. I mean, it was a very dangerous moment, and I'm actually surprised that we didn't lose 10 or 20 members of Congress during that time. And I think that it really sort of culminated in this demonstration that some believe we should use violence to achieve our political goals. And that just can't be acceptable in American politics. That goes nowhere good. And that goes for the people who entered the Capitol. It goes for the people in Oakland County who, vandalized the Republican headquarters in Oakland County over the weekend. Like, we can't use vandalism. We can't use violence.
But specific to the president's comments at the rally a week ago, specific to those comments, you feel that that was an incitement for that crowd to go and attack the Capitol?
Yeah, you can look back on the president's words both that day to the rally, but also previous when he's saying, come to D.C., it's going to be wild. You know, the number of times the president not only encourage people to come, but take things into their own hands. This is going to be a last stand. It meets the definition of incitement, and as does some of the comments of some of my peers who addressed the crowd, and they should be held accountable as well. Now, I looked back and spent the weekend talking to Republican colleagues, looking through definitions. It literally meets the definition of an insurrection, right? Trying to overthrow a government through violence. It meets the definition of terrorism, which is using violence to achieve political goals. And I think we just, even though I am the first to say the timing is awful, it requires an answer. Otherwise, if you sweep it under the rug, it's going to become the norm, and we just can't allow that.
Well, let me ask you this. For those that don't know, there's talk of the 25th Amendment and impeachment, of course. The 25th Amendment is something that can happen relatively quickly through Vice President Pence, correct? And then the impeachment, that's going to take a little bit longer. And what is the end goal? If the president is either taken out of office or impeached, what happens then?
Well, my strong preference would have been that the vice president and the cabinet act. I think that would have been the most swift response. Even if the president would have said, I'm going to Mar-a-Lago, I'm handing over day-to-day responsibility to the vice president, I think that would have been an important move. But the goal is to use the strongest measure we have at our fingertips to send a signal, not just to the president, but throughout history, to anyone who might be wanting to use those tactics in the future, that it's not okay. It will move through the House today, and then per the Constitution, it will be taken up in the Senate. And I think there's a debate about when to take it up because we are so close to the inauguration of a new president. So that is still being debated.
So, the notion of getting 17 Republicans to in the U.S. Senate to vote to potentially convict the president seems a bit far, although there are many Republicans who have stepped up and said they do believe the president did violate his oath and did commit an impeachable offense. In fact, Liz Cheney, number three in the GOP leadership in the House, said she will vote for impeachment today. But it seems the notion of getting a conviction in the Senate now, it's probably a bridge too far. Is there a plan to wait until after the inauguration and then deliver those articles to the Senate?
Yeah, I think that just for sheer timing and just the process of moving something from the House to the Senate, my guess is it will go beyond inauguration. And, the goal, I think, is to bring it up swiftly, have it aired, and then have a decision one way or another, but not let that stop us from doing the important things we need to do at the beginning of a new administration, swear in or confirm a new Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Homeland Security. And, you know, the Senate can do two things at once. It can hear these issues around impeachment, and it can also do the duty that they would be doing at the start of any administration, getting people in the door.
So let me ask you, you know, most people, I mean, this is the first president in history that's going to be impeached twice, and most people think back to the previous impeachment and that trial, and they frame it in those terms. But it seems at this time, I mean, talk to me about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, how that's going to come into play this time.
You mean the possibility that the president may be forbidden from running again?
Correct.
Just to make sure I have my facts right. There is a lot of interest, frankly, I've heard it from both Democrats and Republicans, seeing whether you can, frankly, separate that from impeachment. It seems right now that everyone tells me that if the president is successfully convicted, then the next move is that, you know, you could have a motion put forward in the Senate to, through the 14th Amendment, to prevent him from running again. One usually follows the other. And I've heard a lot of Republicans say that there might be some pretty selfish interest in that, right? People who might want to run for president on the Republican ticket in the future might be more willing to sign on to that. I don't know the status of that, but I know that most people believe he has to be successfully convicted and impeached in order for that to happen.
Okay. And then also to the inauguration next week, you know, there was a report yesterday that the military, the Department of Defense, is putting the troops that will be on duty that day through an extra level of screening. That seems chilling to me. You've got connections to the Department of Defense, having worked in the Pentagon. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, and there's some letters out from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and from the Secretary of the Army today sort of alluding to this and our responsibilities. I think what the military is trying to do is make sure there's not someone serving who might be sympathetic to people who are wanting to do violence and bring violence. We saw already two Capitol Police officers have been suspended temporarily because they were snapping selfies and wearing hats and letting people in. And so there's a real concern around security of this event, as you can imagine. And so they're making sure that folks don't have, any indication publicly that they would be sympathetic to people who want to hurt the people inside the inauguration. It's a sad moment. And the military, I mean, one of the absolute, you know, sort of foundational things is that it's apolitical. It shouldn't get involved in politics one way or another. And I think they're struggling to make sure that that remains the case. And we all want that in the United States.
You know, I thought it was interesting last night in your Teletown Hall. Obviously, impeachment seems to be, you know, the topic of the day, and that's a key thing. But many of the people who spoke last night wanted to talk to you about COVID vaccines and that rollout and that delivery. And obviously, that still seems, you know, while impeachment and these issues are important and no one should take away from that, there are so many other issues that are pressing on people day to day.
Totally. You know, yesterday I had an event in Holly, an in-person event with restaurant owners because, of course, they've just been through the ringer when it comes to COVID and this new, you know, PPP loan program and how we changed it for restaurant owners. We were having a discussion of that. I mean, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. There is a ton of stuff that we need to work on. And I will tell you that the vaccine rollout is not going particularly well. It literally before last week's events, the number one question I was getting on our phones, in emails and letters, was about vaccine rollout. When can I get it? Why can't I get it? I was speaking with Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard yesterday, and he hasn't gotten a shot for everyone in his police force, you know, which are sort of in that category one. We've got a supply problem where the federal government has really been kind of keeping their hand on the tap and metering out what we can get. And then we've got a logistical problem where certain counties like Livingston County, you can now get an appointment at your county, the county health department website. But in other counties, you cannot yet get an appointment to get your immunization. So it's spotty. It's making people frustrated because that's the light at the end of the tunnel. That's how we get out of this thing.
How soon do you think it will be more available to, once we get past phase 1A and B or that, once we get to the general public, How soon do you think that's going to be? I mean, it seems like it is. This was supposed to be Operation Warp Speed, but it seems to be Operation Turtle Speed.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, luckily, the incoming President Biden has said that he'll just push out all of the vaccine to the states. And states will still have a responsibility to run an effective program. But it starts with a supply issue and getting that out. I think we know that there's always going to be a constraint on the supply. And I think by the time kind of younger, healthier people getting access to the vaccine, just to manage expectations, I think we're talking like April and May, right? Not tomorrow. But for people over 65, for our teachers, our childcare workers, you know, they're the ones who should be getting access to it now. And why we feel so frustrated because we can't get our hands on this thing.
Well, lots, of course, to deal with, beginning with an impeachment vote today. And as you said, I don't think you ever thought that you'd be voting for impeachment twice within about a year's span.
No.
Lots to deal with. Once again, we want to thank you for your time as well, Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, talking about the second impeachment of President Trump.
Thanks, John.